Hi, folks, and I'm done in because this is my fourth interview today, and I'm still super glad to be here and to be able to talk with another director who has an amazing movie here in Locarno, where we are now with Movie Break. So I'm talking about the movie Holy Electricity, and it was made by Tato Kotsashvili. Great to have you here.
Thank you for being here.
So, if I got it right, this is your first feature that you did and at a major festival. How is the experience?
Yes, it's my first feature as a director, and the experience is very interesting, super exciting, and also nervous, tired, because I came today. But looking forward, I don't know. Tomorrow we have first screening of my first feature on the first festival, so it's very exciting.
I had good luck to be able to already see this picture, Holy Electricity, and it is very funny. It's also very critical, I think, underneath the surface of society. So that was an interesting contrast, and it feels very real. So it's basically a story about two guys who, during their digging on a junkyard where they find stuff and sell the stuff, find a number of electric crosses, and then think about what they can do with them, and have some, like one of them has some really great ideas about it. And how did you come up with that story? Because the idea is so original, but also so weird.
That's the thing. It seems weird, but it's also very natural for Georgia, because for example, past decade, throughout Georgia, a lot of LED crosses everywhere, on the streets, on the mountains, on the rooftops. And I know a person, for example, who does this kind of job. You can order him something and he can find it on the scrapyard, and he sells these things. So I combined kind of these two things, and I thought that it would be natural that my characters would find these old crosses on the scrapyard and try to make business out of it.
And how did you come up with the characters? Because they seem so natural. Did you develop them together with the actors, or were they already perfectly written?
So there was a script, of course, and we had characters, but I knew exactly that when I find the right characters, because I knew from the beginning that I wanted them to be people who can improvise very good, they would add really a lot to the film, and I would change story towards them, you know, adapt it. So we did it together, yeah. We did it on the go, like in the scenes, every second. We knew, for example, what was seen about, but they were totally free to improvise and give to the scene something more, you know. And more they give, more individuality they gave to the scene. More happy I was, you know. And then everything. We finished in the edit, of course, some things which we were later choosing what to choose, how we would develop them.
And your movie also has kind of an episodic structure where they visit people at their homes. And are those real people, or are those also characters that you created? Because they kind of seem like real, but also larger than life in a way.
No, it's totally real people. Even most of the people are in their real houses, they are playing someone, yeah, but which this someone is very close to themselves, like these old ladies, for example, who are selling these old bears. These bears are really bears, but no one has went to them to buy things, so it was improvised. Yeah. But other than that, I like to, when I work with non-actors, I like them to feel very comfortable and seem be very natural to them, to things they do, you know, normally in everyday life, so that they don't have to act almost as if.
And your movie is not just kind of a fun story about two guys making business, it's also a social satire. Mm-hmm. About a country that's economically at its wits' ends and still people are trying to survive, but also about religion, it's mm-hmm. about conservatism. How did you develop that and put it into the plot?
So, religion is like a very big part of Georgia. It's like part of everybody's life. I think you are, that doesn't matter you're religious or not. And like these crosses, you know, they are everywhere. You see them, and they look at you everywhere, whatever you do. And so it's like a background of your life, even if you don't. How to say? Not integrate, but yeah, do something with it. It's. So yeah, it was basically comment on. I wanted to show this, you know, and what was...
The question was just basically like how do you integrate it and yeah. Also what I would like to... How do you think that in a very religious society,
yeah.
as you just explained, will people react on this kind of caricature almost of religion? I mean, the crosses themselves almost seem like a caricature.
Yeah.
Like such a weird image. How do you think people in Georgia will react on it?
I don't know, but I don't think it's also... It's not so much... I wouldn't agree, because it's really like this, you know? They are really like these colorful crosses. And they are everywhere, really, you know? So it's how I see it, really. And before, when I was photographing, I was photographing them a lot, and you see them on highways and something. Just this is the thing that some people decide to make business with it, which is also very natural because people do business with religion, and so it's maybe shows them how it is. And I hope I don't know how they will take it. But I think if most important, if they really watch it, I think and understand, there won't be problem. But problem is if some people will not watch but decide already that it's bad and something, that maybe they will protest. Because sometimes it happens that on some films, people know we won't watch it, it's terrible, you know, like if it's some, it was some cases about some LGBT films that they even didn't watch, but they protested, you know. But why, if you don't watch, why you protested? No, it's like this, you know?
So they had already made up their mind.
Yeah, you know, it's very radical, but actually if they watched, there was nothing, you know. But like, what's the word for it? Yeah, like this. So I think I'm curious how it will do, but that's not my
let's see. And you also have like queer subjects in your movie,
yeah.
Like you have a couple of queer actors, we have
yeah.
a bit of queer storylines on the side. It's not
yeah.
the focus of the movie, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite unusual for a Georgian movie, because it's a more conservative society, and actually it's not very big on LGBTQIA rights. So how did you decide to put that in? Did you think that could be a problem to put such subjects in because people might react negatively on them?
That happened very naturally, because I'm, as I said, these characters brought really a lot to the film, and it's because of Bart, you know, that I wanted to work with Bart. In the beginning, character had to be a biological man, but then I wanted to shoot Bart anyway, like but then, you know, when we together decided to, why not to try to put his identity into the film if it will work out somehow naturally and not forcefully. And it worked out, that's how it worked out, you know, what we have. And it was not like in the script or so, from beginning, you know, in process brought it. And I think also this film, what I wanted to do, because there are other films also, yeah, in Georgia, there are some which are more, had some, how do you say it, protests against it, and would be great, I think, if everyone saw it and they didn't saw problem, opposite, you know, it would open up their, I don't know, like more compassion. Yeah, compassion. So I didn't, and I think it's because it's, you know, like it's also not very, it's there, it's not the main subject, you know, this problem which Bart has, everybody can have, it doesn't, it's not because of he's transgender, just, you know, he's gambler or whatever, you know. But then, so maybe, I don't know what, but I think, I really hope to more connect people than to separate them.
Yeah, I think that this movie, because it's so funny and entertaining, yeah, also, and so warm-hearted, that it's a great way to connect movie. And I think it's always great if people tell queer stories, and it's not just all about them being queer, but it's just a natural part of the story. And if I may put this out there, I wasn't aware of it at the moment when I saw the movie, but then I learned that Bart had this case on the Human Rights Court where he fought for trans rights, so he's actually like a real hero of the queer movement. And did you know about this, or were you also not aware that this happened, that he was the person who actually fought for trans rights in Georgia and said, yes, people have the right to affirm their real identity and don't have to stick to their biological identity but to their real self?
No, I knew him because I told you or not, I met him through a documentary I was shooting, and it was about LGBTQ community. So there I knew already some, most of things he does. And before also, no, I have heard about Bart, and he's kind of famous because he does a lot of important things.
And then there are so many scenes where the actors do like crazy stunts. Like we have this one scene where the young guy who plays the younger cousin of Bart in the movie, where he does like dangle down from this hook above the scrapyard. And how many of those stunts did they actually do? And were they kind of dangerous?
No, not so much. I mean, it was, they did it, really. And in some cases, actually, on the set, happened, but it was not because of film. We were not shooting it, but this Gonga broke his leg, hand.
So he actually broke it, that would be the next question. Yeah, really broke his arm and you just integrated it?
Yes, in the middle of the movie, it happened that he broke his hand because he was having fun with our friend photographer, and he was trying to do flip or something and show him for the photo. And then I was looking into the camera. When I looked back, he was already hurt. They took him and brought him with this
casket.
And so first I was kind of stressed, but then I decided to relax, and we took a break of 2 days, and I rearranged some things, and then we continued with the casket, and it worked out quite good, actually.
It does, and it's so interesting that the story flows so easily. So how long did you take to create the story, and how long did you take to shoot it, actually? Was it very quick?
No, it was very long, but we had the big breaks because of, we got first finance, like 5 years ago. But it took a very long time because then it was two pandemic years, shooting was hard, then we were looking for actors, then we're taking how we worked on this, and it was very nice. We were, for example, with shoot, edit 2 weeks, then take a big long break, then go back again, edit, and so with this process somehow we got to the point that we didn't got like material was always fresh for us, you know, because after some time you tend to get tired, you don't see already like if you edit 1 month straight away or something. So, but because of this breaks, and in the breaks we were doing some other stuff, it took us long time, and then in break we could shoot something more, add like some one scene, so it was very additive process and slow.
You already mentioned that you before you worked in documentary. How was the change from documentary movie making to fictional movie making?
I did, but not many documentaries actually. But what I did was I was cinematographer mainly. I had made 2 short films as a director, but I studied and I was working as a cinematographer mainly. And change being for being director is was very interesting. And yeah, it helped me actually. My film school where I studied in Poland, it helped me because there cinematographers can shoot their own short movies, and they don't have to do it with directors, like it's not a must. So because of this, many cinematographers from that school start to do their documentaries or fictions in the end. So I was kind of lucky that I studied there. I guess it gave me possibility to be here where I'm now.
And what I noticed on your movie is that it has a very particular look cinematographically, probably because you said that you were into cinematography.
Yeah.
Because we have those quite static frames.
Yeah.
So it's always one specific perspective and the camera doesn't move so much.
Yeah.
How did you decide to give the movie this particular look?
The thing is, I really like this style, this photographic style, to say. But then also, from the specific of the shoot, that it was a lot of improvisation, and sometimes improvisation can go for a long time. Let's say some one shot, for example, with this Roma girl, they and Gonga are sitting outside and talking. It was 10 minutes shot. But we left like 5 minutes. So it had to be static so that I later had to choose which part to take. If it was movement, it would be really hard to do. You don't know where you end up, what moment of movement you would end up taking. So it's more controlled, and also I wanted to simplify process, like no movements, no lights, so that I would concentrate on the actors and dialogues more and look at them and wouldn't have to control these other aspects of cinematography.
Is photography also something that you want to explore more deeply in the future?
That's actually what I really wanted to do from very young age. From 14, I think I wanted to be a photographer and documentary photographer or something, but that's where I'm coming from more, and I really enjoy. I have times when I start, I take photos. Now it's I break from this, but then I'm sure I will go back to it. So it's always with me, and I always enjoy it. But on a professional level, I'm more with the moving image.
And now that you're sticking with movie images for now, you already talked about how you did a story that's very strongly connected to reality, how a lot of the characters are based in reality and the scenes are strongly connected to real places, and also those crosses, which you said is this real thing in Georgia. Could you also see yourself doing something that's highly fictionalized, like something which you just completely make up, or would you say that more reality-based stories are your thing?
I think for now, at least, yeah, I really get inspired with something real. Real locations, for example. I really, because there are so amazing, like this apartment in my film, there are really amazing scenography there to which you can add something, and it's there, and I really like to use that more than to create from zero. Because it's this old and real has some different energy for me.
And do you already have plans and ideas for new movies, or are you still kind of completely focused on this one?
No, I have. It's on the very beginning stage, but like next movie, I think I want to explore. Like past times, a lot of it's really a lot of emigration from Georgia, and immigration to US as well, and they take really strange routes, like from many countries, many countries, and end up like from many Latin America countries, mountains, something, and then end up in US Mexican border. Now it's stopped, I think, because they changed the law, but I know many stories, and some of my friends even traveled like this. So yeah, I want to tell something about that, about the kid which goes with his family. And he sees it, he looks at it as a family trip because he's too small and he doesn't understand that what's going on.
That sounds like a really, really great story. And now it's your first feature movie and you're already at Locarno. How does that kind of feel for you to have such a big step already with your first feature movie showing at one of the world's biggest festivals? Is it scary, or would you say it's encouraging, or maybe both?
Yeah, both. It's exciting, and it's a lot of work before, also like preparing, and now also like I don't know, meeting many people, and it's yeah. It's nice. It's a little bit nervous, of course, but I'm always a little bit maybe like thinking like this, but it's very nice, and I'm lucky to be here. And it's a beautiful place, and it's good weather.
It definitely is. Yeah, it's super hot here.
Yeah, maybe too good.
We can say that. And I just want to ask like a few more things about the style of your movie, because in the end it kind of becomes a bit surreal, and you have those stroboscope-like effects, and it almost feels like getting a bit experimentally. What happened that you made this little, I wouldn't say break, but where you say, okay, now we're gonna play a little bit more with lightning, and then we have slow motion and these things, like because that really stuck out and gave the later part of the movie something that made it very, very remarkable and very organically.
Yeah, because I really wanted to make that scene very different. Yeah, and that was the way to make it, with slow motion and this light as well. Because actually that's where the not dramaturgical but emotional ending of the movie happens, I think, with the text of the song and them dancing, you know. So if not that shot, I think movie wouldn't end so much. So it somehow gives this before in the dialogue you understand that something, he's okay that he didn't, one girl went, but maybe he's open for the future, what will happen, something, but then this dance is kind of this magical thing, but finishes it up everything. So yeah, so I wanted to contrast this. Was always interested in the slam dance to shoot it slow motion, and it came out very interesting.
It totally did. And would you say that the younger Georgian cinema is now more open for experiments, for social references, for more daring pictures on every level, also thematically, or would you say that the conservative movement is stronger?
No, I think a lot of young, very talented filmmakers are there now, and yeah, they're also conservative as well, but I think we're gonna see a lot of interesting movies, more and more. I hope if, because now it's a bit hard situation, we have most of actually these talented and interesting directors and filmmakers are in boycott. So boycott against our film center, so they can't get like finance for their films, and only one because I would say that our government doesn't want to negotiate with them and go on to in dialogue with people. And yeah, I don't know how much it continues, but I really hope it our government will be really much better versions of themselves and decide to talk with their own people and filmmakers and try to solve this problem.
And is the lack of financing due to state censorship, or is it a purely financial issue?
No, it's many things. So financing, like for example, people, filmmakers asked the right to choose a director of the main financing institute, which is very normal. I think that we can. It can be elections and we can choose, yeah? Everybody can take part, but they say no, and they want to put someone, and this someone is not nothing to do with filmmaking, no, now more, which is now, but still, and then they have the right to control like this jury who gives accepts the script which are in and there, yeah, they want there can be censorship, everything, you know, and it started all with this, and so young and many not young as well, like filmmakers, really a lot for Georgia, like 500 people signed this petition boycott, which is for Georgian it's small community, it's really a lot. And instead of that, to try to solve and negotiate, yeah, because power, okay, I understand, power is in their hands, their government, yeah, but instead of trying to work with people, they just close their doors and play the game that the time is on their side, you know? Yeah, because how long can...
Can they persist without working?
Persist without working. So they use, but because of this, I think really, yeah, time goes by and really important stories are not being told and so on. And yeah, just stress and so, yeah, I really hope that this will change. And I think blaming is not the, if I blame them, it's not just, I really want and hope that they will try to work towards that to fix it.
And does it worry you for your own financing in the future, or would you say because you so far move in a more lower budget vein that you gonna make it?
No, it's same. But I think somehow that I'm in same situation, but I'm also thinking that like these problems are challenges, which by finding ways to solve it. Maybe, yeah, if you have, don't have access to this finance, you have to find other or do without or like find the ways, which is hard, but maybe I hope it's possible to, but it will be hard for everyone, yeah.
But all the time, I really hope that you continue this fight, because I want to see more of those important stories being told, like your one. It's now at Locarno, and it doesn't yet have a German release, but I hope it gets one. If not, then find it on a streaming device. Of course, pay for it if you find it on a streaming device. And watch Holy Electricity by Tato Kochabili. Many thanks for the interview.
Thank you, Lida. Thank you. Very nice interview.
Yeah, and you're gonna hear more from Locarno on Movie Break. And that was it from me for now. Bye, guys.